when I looked at these readings last night and I saw that the gospel is Jesus teaching us how to pray the Our Father, I thought, well, certainly that's what I'm going to reflect on come Tuesday morning, and reflect on this gift of prayer, the Our Father. And one of the things that struck me last night right away was that this gospel passage seems to be completely unconnected to yesterday's gospel, which was about caring for the least brothers, right? Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. And I remember saying yesterday that we can't take that yesterday's gospel and treat it as if that's the whole gospel, as if all we ever have to do is take care of our brothers. Although that's what it looks like, right? If you did that, then you enter into the kingdom, and if you didn't, well, then you get condemned. In today's gospel, there's no mention about taking care of the poor or taking care of the needy. Here it's how to pray. And we don't pray, Lord, open our eyes to see you in the poor. It's your will be done, your kingdom come. It's forgive us our sins. It's provide us with our daily bread, and you know that our Father. So this is to remind us that the three disciplines that we focus on in Lent go together: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. It's not prayer alone, even though this is the great prayer, the great prayer that Jesus himself taught us. We don't pray this and then completely neglect our brothers and sisters. It's not almsgiving alone. We don't just care for others and forget about our relationship with God. And it's not fasting alone. And no one would ever choose fasting alone anyway. So prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Anyway, that's the direction I thought I would take last night. And then when I got up this morning, it wasn't raining when I got up, but when it came time for me to take a little exercise, it started to rain. I thought, well, it's just ambon lang. But as I was raining, it started to rain harder and harder. It really was pouring rain. Now it stopped again, the sun came out. But about an hour ago, it was pouring rain, hard rain. And that's very unusual this time of year to have any rain at all, especially I have a hard rain like that. So I said, well, maybe the Lord wants me to focus on the first reading, because the first reading is about rain. Just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down, well, no snow here, but plenty of snow in other parts of the world, but just as the rain and the snow come down, so shall my word be. So today's first reading is also a great reading. The gospel is really superb teaching about how to pray. But this first reading is also a very profound reading, because it's the word of God about the word of God. It's God's word teaching us about the word. The word is like rain, which comes down and makes the earth fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats. That's what my word will do. It will give you, it will make you fertile. It will make you prosperous. My word, the Lord says through the prophet, shall do my will. It shall not return to me void. It shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. So the power of the word of God is the focus of this first reading. Now, as I reflected on that, walking through the pouring rain and getting all wet, I said, well, this is a funny thing that he says, that the rain gives bread to him who eats. Because rain doesn't give bread in the direct sense. I mean, it's not bread coming down from the sky. And even once the rain gives life to the plants, bread doesn't just grow from the earth. Grain grows, wheat grows. And then it's up to man to do something with that grain and harvest it, and then mill it, and then mix it up with water and yeast, and then bake it, and then you get bread. There's this combination between the creative power of God and the cooperating work of man, which is true for almost all foods. I mean, there's some fruits you can eat, you just pluck them off the tree and eat them, but most food has to be prepared somehow, either cooked or cut or peeled or something. And for sure, when it comes to grains, when it comes to bread, it takes a lot of human effort. And this is mentioned in the Mass. Blessed are you, Lord God, blessed are you, Lord our God. How does it go? fruit of the earth and work of human hands. Fruit of the earth, that's the plants, and work of human hands. We do some of the work to make it possible to eat bread. So this started to resonate in my mind that we have this collaboration with God. Because in Lent, it's not simply that God is making us holy. God is inviting us to participate in the work of being made holy. He provides the rain, he provides the grain, he provides the life, but we have to make the bread. So he makes it possible for us to pray and fast and give alms, but he doesn't force us to do it. We have to do it. He might give us a huge abundance of blessings, but if we don't share them or use them, then they don't bear fruit. And it's our own fault. Perhaps this idea of bread struck me because it was also part of Sunday's gospel. When the tempter approached Jesus, the very first temptation was, turn these stones into bread. Stones into bread. You can make bread out of stones. You don't have to go through the process of raising the grain and grinding it and baking it. You just, boom, like that. You can make bread appear here out of stones. And Jesus said, no, remember what he said. Took a quotation from the Old Testament. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. What Jesus was referring to there was a reference to the manna in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in the desert, just as Jesus was in the desert, and they ran out of food and they were hungry. They complained and they said, we don't have any bread. And the Lord provided manna, which was better than bread. It was a replacement for bread. It was heavenly bread. And Jesus recalls this as a weapon against the temptation to turn the stones into bread. We don't live on bread alone. We don't live merely on what we can produce. We live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In the great collaboration between God and man, God does by far the bigger part, right? God is the one who does it. We're a very small part of the production of bread. We're a very small part of our own holiness. We're part, yes, because God wants us to participate, but the main work is God's. So when it comes to being providing for us, we don't have to worry about providing for ourselves because God provides for us. Like it says here in the reading, the rain and the snow come down and they provide for us. Bread. What do we live on? We live on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Maybe that's what brought it to my mind. The mouth of God is mentioned here just as it was in Sunday's gospel. Well, reflecting on bread made me think again about the Our Father because that seems to be the connection. The Our Father also mentions bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Which is not only food, physical food, although it is that. In fact, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have enough food to eat every day. If people don't have enough food, they've died already. So that means the Lord has provided enough food for us. From the moment we were born until this very day, he's always provided enough food to keep us alive. Even if we had days when we were hungry, God provided for us our daily bread. But when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're not only thinking about food, we're also thinking about the Word. Because the Word is our food. In fact, we're eating it right now. As we ponder the word in the Mass or when we pray, we're eating the word. We're being fed by the word. And it's a very nourishing spiritual food. It's like the manna. We don't need bread. In fact, the experts in the spiritual life would always say, don't eat right before you pray. Don't save your prayer time for right after a meal because it dulls the spiritual life. Better to pray before you eat. Pray early in the morning or pray at a time when food is not going to be preoccupying you or you're not on a full stomach and you'll get sleepy. No, eat the word. There's a passage in John's Gospel that we're going to read in a couple of weeks. It's in the story of the his encounter with the Samaritan woman. I think we read that on the third Sunday of Lent this year. Anyway, you know that story. He meets the woman at the well and asks for a drink, and then they get into a long conversation about living water. In the meantime, the disciples have gone off to the town to get some food, remember? They went off to buy food, and they come back with the food, and they say, okay, Lord, here, I have food for you. Eat something. And he says, I already have food. I have food that you don't know about. My food is to do the will of the Father. It's, again, this idea that the bread that we really need is the Word. The bread that we really need is what comes from God, not what we produce ourselves. So when we pray to our Father and we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, yes, give us food, give us and our loved ones the food we need, but also give us what we need for our spiritual flourishing. Feed us with the Word. And then even more, of course, it means the Eucharist. Our daily bread is Jesus himself in the form of bread, his body and blood in the form of bread, the Eucharist. People who come to daily Mass, like yourselves, I think recognize how precious it is to be able to receive the Eucharist every day. Most people can't, even if they want to, because work and life and obligations make it impossible. But for some privileged few, we can receive the Eucharist every day, or almost every day. What a blessing it is. What a reminder to us of what we live on. Yes, we eat every day, but we eat more times in a day than we receive the Eucharist. We only receive the Eucharist once in a day, if that. But it's enough to live on. I'm sure you've heard the story of saints who lived only on the Eucharist. For years, that's the only thing they ate. It's a sign to us that what we really need is the Lord. So what do we pray? I mean, the Our Father has many lessons for us. I'm only picking out this one business of bread. But when we pray, we're feeding on the spiritual nourishment God provides for us. That when we pray, we're making the bold assertion that God provides, and we don't have to worry about taking care of ourselves because God is our Father, and he provides for us. That's why we say in the Mass, instructed by the Word, we dare to say the Our Father. It's a very daring thing to act like we're children of God. It's a very daring thing to be so bold as to ask for daily bread and to ask for forgiveness and to ask for freedom from temptation and from the evil one. But we dare to do it because he told us to do it. He taught us to do it. He fed us with this prayer, and we eat it every day, many times a day, I hope. So let us continue our Lenten journey well-fed with the Word, well-fed with prayer, so that we can practice almsgiving, so that our fasting is fruitful for our good and for the good of others. This is the richness of the Lenten pilgrimage.